engulfed with your fire. Let the environment be engulfed with your fire. The Bible says there is a spirit in man, the breath of the Almighty, that gives a man understanding. It is the spirit of the Lord that brings understanding, which is the breath of the Almighty. Lord, when your word comes today, let it come with understanding in the name of Jesus. The spirit of the Lord that brings understanding, the spirit of the Lord that brings illumination, the spirit of the Lord that brings focus, let it come upon us in the name of Jesus. Let your word come with fire, as the servant of the Lord will be ministering. Let the word that is coming out of his mouth, let it be fire, that will burn away unbelief, that will burn away stagnation, that will burn away delay, everything that is standing against you from not believing the word of God. That as his ministry today, the word will come as fire. They testify that Jesus was speaking to them, and the word that Jesus spoke was fire. That as the servant of the Lord will be ministering, every word that will come out of his mouth will be fire in the name of Jesus. Let it burn away every sickness, and Lord, let it burn away stagnation, every attitude that has not made us to believe the word. Father, we declare that your fire will burn it away. The word will come as a fire. The word will come as a fire. The Bible says there is a name that is above all that name, which is the name of Jesus, which is the word of God that is coming to us today. I want us to pray that that name will come against every circumstances, every situation, that the glory of God be revealed, his wisdom be revealed, his message be revealed. We have come to seek him, the only true God. We have come to worship him, the almighty God. We have come to praise him, the hand of the hand. Lord, we exalt you, Jesus. We give you all the praise and glory. Let the word of God meet you. Let the word of God transform you. Let the word of God deliver you. I want to pray for yourself. It doesn't matter what you are going through. It doesn't matter what you are experiencing. There is a solution in the word. There is answer in the word. There is greatness in the word. There is focus in the word. Look up to the word of God. As the servant we minister today, that the word will meet you. The word will set you amongst the crowd, and it will separate you. They met Jesus, and Jesus was speaking to them. Their heart was burning like fire. I want to pray for yourself. Let my heart burn for you. Let my heart burn for you. Let my spirit burn for you like never before, in the name of Jesus. And make me to be the dweller of the word. Let my heart begin to burn in the name of Jesus, with the word that will come upon me to refine me in the name of Jesus. Thank the Lord and exalt his name. Give him all the praise and glory. Blessed be God forevermore.
In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen.
Amen and amen.
Amen.
We welcome you all this Sunday. It's a wonderful day. This is the day that the Lord has made. We shall be glad and happy in it. A lot of us are here this morning to celebrate. So make sure you put on your dancing shoe and celebrate greatly. Some are celebrating their anniversary. Some are celebrating birthdays. I can see all this green, the shiny noses and everything. So celebrate. It's time to celebrate. And we all shall celebrate with them. Remember, when they come out to dance and celebrate, you come with your own money too to celebrate with them. Amen. You don't come empty-handed. Don't just come and stroll away. No, 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 no. Come and celebrate with everybody, and we shall be blessed. With this in mind, with a clean hands and a pure heart, yes, we are going to lift up our right hand to heaven and read the book of Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and all that dwell therein, for he hath founded it upon the seas, and established it upon the waters. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his heart to what is false, nor swear deceitfully, he shall receive blessing from the Lord, and vindication from God his Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, O God of Jacob, Selah. Let's sing the book of O ye gates, and be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of glory. Amen. Let's sing the book of Psalm 145. I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty. And I will meditate on your wonderful works. They will tell of the power of your awesome works. And I will proclaim your great deeds. They will celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All you have made will praise you, O Lord. Your saints will exalt you. They will tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all men may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving towards all he has made. The Lord upholds all those who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and loving towards all he has made. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you. glory and all the adoration. Clap your hands now. Clap your hands. Come on.
Praise God, you're sovereign. Praise God, you reign. Name we are worshiped. Turn to someone beside you and welcome them in the name of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. What a glorious day and what a wonderful season. Please be seated in the heavenly places. Thank you, choir. Put your hands together for the choir. Hallelujah. Please let the children remain. Let the children remain on their seats. Not yet, because they will be going after the next episode. When I want to preach, the children will leave. So bring all of them back, please. Put your hands together for the choir. As they are going to sit down without. I lift my hands to the coming King. I met a girl 51 years ago. And the first day I met her, the first word that came out of my mouth is, "You are my wife." From my young age, I don't know how to beat about the bush or bush about the beat. Amen. And the marriage has been jolly for the past 41 years. She's still my spring chicken every day. She's still springing till now, really. By the grace of God, after next week, by this time, the other week, that's the first Sunday, no, the second Sunday in May, we will be together in Germany. I thought if you had my wedding anniversary photograph, you put it there, so that they see the girl I married. No, that's not the wedding photograph. Can you imagine these guys? That may be a shocker for them. They might not have expected that. So together we thank God for His grace that have sustained both of us. We thank God for bringing us together. But I will tell you this. Why did God connect her to me, or me to her? There is a common denominator. In her family, she was the only born again at a young age. She decided to follow the Lord. And she went through persecution a lot from the family. And I believe that God saw that and gave her this gift. And I was born, of course, I wasn't born in hospital. I was born in the church, under barrage of prayers of very heavily anointed men of God. My mother went to labor and I came forth. Of course, there was hospital in my time, and many were born in the hospital, but I wasn't born in the hospital. It was spoken concerning me before I was conceived. And when I was 2 months in my mother's womb, the prophet came and said, "That is the child you are carrying in your womb." And so I was a promised child. So to choose a woman for me, it can only be God. I won't be surrounded by many ladies, girls together in church we grew. But when the time came, God arranged both of us to come together. The moment I sighted her, I recognized in my spirit, the Spirit of the Lord told me, "That is your wife." And as it has been, and it will always be, nothing can separate both of us. We have passed through the worst. That is, the devil had tried his best, but God has used his best as a ladder to bind us together. We never fought. We may disagree, but we disagree to agree. And that has been our life. If she doesn't disagree with me, I wind up, say something. We seldom have diverse opinion, except the area of our individual personality. But we both love God to beat. And can you imagine if I did not marry her, if I married a woman that is worldly? Probably none of you will know one another on earth. It is her commitment to the Lord Jesus that gave me peace of mind to follow the course that God has set me to follow on earth. So she's the mother of nations. Amen. We're going to Germany. We're going to Ireland. Then we head for Nigeria. We're heading for Cote d'Ivoire. And I can see some of you there. And we are heading for Benin Republic. Really, we have started to have a big cry from the U.S., all around the U.S. And of course, Australia and Canada is waiting for us. But I want to thank God for her. That is the girl. Can you see her face? What a beauty she is. I think this man has eyes to see. Amen. If he did not have eyes, he wouldn't see this one. Amen. So we rejoice and celebrate our life with you. Without you, we cannot be where we are today. And God had brought us as iron sharpened iron. So we sharpen one another. The God who has sustained our marriage and given us good success in all our life pursuits, He will give you all great success. Together with our children, we are successful. We are unhindered by any power. And so it will be for you and your family as well. Us and our generation to 1,000 generations, we stand in the presence of God. And so today is a memorable day. We join all those who are having their celebration of various things today in the Thanksgiving. So, but before we go into the message, my message today is brief because I started it in the night vigil. You remember what I was sharing with you? The secret behind the success of Jesus. That is the investigation we are making. And this arose from the book of Luke, chapter 6, verse what? Luke chapter 4, verse 40. Let's look at it and say it again. Now, I have to give that to us again. Yes, chapter 6, not 4. Chapter 6, verse 40. I was correct. So what did he say? Shall we read it together, please?
Jesus returned. No, it's too.
I want somebody who is older to be in charge of that machine today, throughout today. I don't want anybody who is in training. Whenever I'm meeting with you, or main meeting, all those who are officiating should be the best you have. All right, now, shall we read this together? A student.
Student is not above his teacher.
Yes.
But everyone who is fully trained will be like his teacher.
And our driving force is that you can be like Jesus. Come on now, I can't hear amen from you. I say you will be like him.
Amen.
And that's what our consecration will be today. But I want us to listen to one of us today as we look from his perspective into Vision 2027. That is the vision that God has given to this house to achieve between 2021 to 2027, which has been our driving force. I was in the men's meeting and I had this gentleman coming in a concept about this vision. I'm so happy that you all caught the vision. Yesterday till about 1 a.m. I was speaking to one of our spiritual sons in Houston, just discussing about the 7 agenda vision. That are the 7 goals of Christ with Tabernacle, which God gave us from 2021, and it will be fully manifest by 2027. Shall we just welcome together Deacon Aliepo. Deacon Ben Aliepo. Yes. Please welcome Deacon Ben Aliepo to come and give us. We are starting reflection this week, so he will give us a reflection before I come in to minister the word of God. Put your hands together for my girl.
Praise Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Apostle. Thank you, Mama Uma. I'm really grateful. My standing here is a testament that this is a training ground. And anybody can be called at any time. So it's important to always be ready. Apostle, we thank you because through the light of Jesus Christ, many of us have come to the knowledge of God's word, profound and true. And which is true. And I want to say thank you. God bless you, Apostle. God bless you, my mama. Today, the talk is about a character study of the life of Apostle Paul. And briefly, I will, I don't know if we have the slides. There are some slides that we had during the, thank you. That helps a lot. Thank you. So it's about a character study of Apostle Paul. And the talk is broken down into three sections. It's going to be a very brief talk. I will speak about Apostle Paul before he encountered Christ. I will also talk about his encounter of Jesus Christ. I will also talk about his encounter with Christ. And then finally, we will ask the question, what can the church take home from this life of Apostle Paul? Is there any message for the church now, here, at this time, from the life of Apostle Paul? And those are the things that I will be speaking about. Now, because of the brevity of time, I would like to say that all of the scriptural references are on this slide. And please, feel free to go back to the slides and look at those scriptural references. Because of time, I won't go into all of them. I found those slides, those scriptures very enriching, and I pray you find them enriching as well. So, next slide. Thank you. So, Apostle Paul was a Jew. The next slide, please. Yeah. Apostle Paul was a Jew, and he was thoroughly trained in the laws of the Jews. But besides that, he was one who was not content to just have a knowledge of the law. He was someone who actively pursued what he believed in. And that was the life that he had, so much so that he even went to prosecute those people who were living contrary to the laws of Moses, the laws of his father. He was, in addition to being an intellectual, he was also a go-getter. And we see that life from the life of Apostle Paul. However, something happened. He encountered Christ, and that changed the trajectory of his destiny. Now, before I go into how the encounter with Christ changed his life, I will please seek your indulgence for us to visit a very relevant understanding that will help us grasp the life of Apostle Paul. Next slide, please. Now, if we look at the book So if we look at the book of Isaiah chapter 49, verse 6. Isaiah chapter 49, verse 6, I will read this. It says, he says, it is too small a thing for you to be my servants to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. And then the important part, I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach the ends of the earth. Now we know that this scripture is speaking of Jesus Christ. This is a promise made by the Father to Jesus Christ, that I will make you a light to the Gentiles. But we see something very interesting in Acts chapter 13, verse 47. We see that it's written, for this is what the Lord has commanded us. I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. Now, if we take note, those scriptures are literally the same, word for word. The first one says, I will make you a light. And the second one says, I have made you a light. Now we know that that promise was made about Jesus Christ. However, we see that that promise was fulfilled in Apostle Paul. Now, how did that happen? By what technology did that happen? Now, if you go to Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, Paul says it himself. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. So the technology by which Apostle Paul was able to fulfill that prophecy that was said hundreds of years about Jesus Christ was because Christ was living in him. And If we go to Acts chapter 9, verse 15. Acts chapter 9, verse 15 says, this is what Christ said about Paul. He said, he is a chosen vessel to me to bear my name before the Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. So what Christ was saying is, Apostle Paul, you are my vessel. And in that vessel, I will put my name. And when I put my name in that vessel, you will be a message to kings, to the Gentiles, and to the children of Israel. So when we say we are studying the life of Apostle Paul, what we are actually saying is, we are studying the message of Jesus Christ through the vessel of Apostle Paul. Hallelujah. So when we have that understanding, the question now is, what message did Jesus Christ have for the Gentiles through the vessel of Apostle Paul? What message did Jesus Christ have for kings through Apostle Paul? And what message did Jesus Christ have for the children of Israel through the vessel of Apostle Paul? That is exactly what we are studying this season. Next slide, please. And those are the scriptural references for kings, for the children of Israel, and for the Gentiles. Those are the scriptural references. I call them the classics of Apostle Paul. If you go through them, you will see how Apostle Paul laid down his arguments logically, and you understand the depths of wisdom and insight that God gave him to those three classes of people, which I believe is important for us today. However, I think that for the church here and now, there is a message, there is a light that God gave Apostle Paul that is relevant for us here and now. Now, we know that through Apostle Paul, Christ established churches. And there are several, and Apostle Paul took several missionary trips to establish churches, to strengthen churches, to encourage them. For the church now, the question we should ask is, what did Christ reveal to Apostle Paul about the churches that he established? Because if we have the understanding that it wasn't Apostle Paul, it was Christ doing the work, then we should know that there are several, should I say, pillars that Christ revealed to Apostle Paul for the church. We are the church, and I therefore believe that Christ has a message through the life of Apostle Paul for us today. Amen. Next slide, please. Now, Apostle Paul, if in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, we see that he told the church to be, to be of one heart, one mind. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 12 to 23, he encouraged the church to be selfless. You can do the next click, so it's going to be coming up bit by bit. The next click. Okay. And then in Acts chapter 20, verse 35, we also see that Paul encouraged that the church should have no needy person. And if you look at, exactly, that's it, thank you. And if you look at the rest scriptural references, the next one, we see that, I'm sure we all know where I'm going with this, we see that these are the exact same pillars that Apostle A.T.B. Williams has given to the church today. And so what I'm trying to say is, this light that Christ gave Apostle Paul, Christ is also speaking the same through his vessel today, here and now. Now, February 1984, we know that Christ spoke to Apostle A.T.B. Williams. We all believe that, and we have seen the signs and the wonders and the testament of God's power through his servant. Brethren, let us not be deceived. Christ is still speaking today. The light of God is still speaking today. We are not left without light. But we must be warned that we should not see just the biological entity that speaks these words. We must see that it is Christ speaking through his servant. And for the revival that we are going into, Christ has spoken through his servant that there are seven pillars that we need to imbibe as a church. The question for us now is, are we going to take these words lightly, Or are we going to see them as the message of Jesus Christ for the church now? What is going to be our response? Brethren, the work has started, and it is important for everybody, regardless of whatever skills that you have, to bring everything to the table because the revival has started. God bless you.
Thank you, Deacon. Bless you. This, if you are a man in Christ with Tabernacle and you do not attend the men's fellowship monthly, this is just a little of what you are missing. Can I say this to you? And it's what you know. A tree can never make a forest. It takes shrubs, multitude of shrubs, to grow, to become trees. And I believe a tree cannot feed a nation. It takes the forest to feed a nation. If you are a man in Christ with Tabernacle, you are expected to join the light of the world. You are by default member. And I want you to know this, that each time they meet, apart from the in-depth teaching and knowledge they share with one another, which is a springboard for a good number of people to manifest the grace and destiny God has called them. Similarly, the unction that manifests during the meeting, if you were not there, you cannot get it. And I want to encourage every one of you, the clock of the world is ticking fast. And this world is not going to be so long anymore before Jesus will come. And you know what? When you close your eyes, the day you close your eyes and you are no more in control of what happens to your body, that is the end. You will not be able to add anything to what you should have done, because every activity left behind is no more your business or concern. You will stand before your Maker, whether you believe it or not. That's your default destiny. The Bible says in the book of Ecclesiastes, death is the destiny of all men. Let the living take it to heart. And so I adjure you and encourage you, not only the men, the women also have their own, just like this, you know, every second Thursday, and the men is every third Thursday. If you are over 30 in this church, you are supposed to be a men's group. Of course, you know, you are still a youth at 49. When you cross the barrier of 49 to 50, you are no more a youth. But no matter what the case, regardless of that, you need to recognize the season that you are living in so that you can join the move of God's power. In this church, we do not believe in failure. And it is impossible for a child of God to fail. We do not believe in defeat. It is impossible for anyone washed by the blood of Jesus to be defeated. We have no concern about enemies, because the default promise of Jesus Christ takes care of that. He says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit down at my right hand and I will make all your enemies the footstool of your feet. If you claim to be a Christian and you are still struggling about enemies, something is wrong with you. Because those who are really of the Lord, they glide above the enemies. Enemies cannot hinder or dictate what will happen to us tomorrow. We have passed from death to life. We have crossed that boundary years ago when we accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Whatever happens to us in this house, it is the handwriting of God. As long as you follow the Lord the way I teach you, not the way you hear on YouTube. I can say among mankind, follow me as I follow Jesus. The Lord Jesus appeared to me 40 years ago. Like you are seeing me like this, I'm seeing him. Like you are listening to me and discussing with me, with my mouth, I discuss with him. And the things that he has shown me concerning the United Kingdom is about to be manifest. It has been birthed already. This is 40 years after. And we are part of this last move. You know, The Lord gave us seven agenda plan, and which we have started from 2021. These have been my driving force, and I thank God that we are successful in this agenda the Lord gave us. And the agenda is that we should build a church where with one heart and mind, united in heart and mind, we should build a church, number two, that is full of selfless people. People who do not live for themselves. People who do not ask, what will I get from my country? They would rather ask, what can I contribute to my nation? Because this is a great nation. This is Great Britain. The greatness of this country came when the forefathers of this country took the gospel to the ends of the earth. And if you look at all those people who were the people God used, they were highly educated. Very, very educated. You know, they preached the gospel, well read. And so, because they did that, God made them and their offspring great. He didn't just make their offspring great, He made them and their offspring great. But a generation came that knows not the God of their father, and they are given to lasciviousness, given to worldliness, occultism, and practices of the devil. And so this nation began to nosedive. And the reason why you are here in this country, and probably you may claim to be a citizen or, you know, whatever you are just here now, whether you are resident or domicile, whichever one you claim to be, you belong to this nation. The reason why we are here in this nation at such a time as this is to make this nation great again. That is to turn the captivity around. That is to set the captives free. To preach a gospel that is relevant, because it is the manifestation of the Word of God. And we have no option. We cannot bargain it. We do not discuss or argue it. We are born to change history in United Kingdom and then to the nations of the earth. I cannot hear your amen. That's what we are born to do. Over the past years from 21, we have achieved a lot, especially raising generations to the fifth year generation, like children of 3 to 5, because the children are here now. And a day like this, I want to talk to them too, because those children hear everything I say. I was greeting around today, and I was with my protocol. As we got up there, I hugged all the children, because I named them, you see. They are mine. Yeah, God gave them to me through their parents. I have a mandate to make sure they succeed on earth. And I have a mandate to also make sure they are protected by the Lamb of God. And one of them, I greeted her and hugged her. As I was going away, she ran after me. She said, "Apostle," and I hugged her. She said, "I love you, Apostle." Isn't that interesting? Very young girl like that. And you know, I said, "I love you, darling." And that girl is not speaking about her mind. She's speaking about her heart. And so in this church, therefore, we do not compare ourselves with any church that exists. Neither do we criticize anybody for what they do, because everyone will report before God to give account to what he has done in the bodily form. But here, we judge ourselves so that we will not be judged. And we judge ourselves by the standard of the Word of God so that we may do better, until we'll attain the height of Jesus Christ in full flesh on planet Earth. But we are a work in progress. Somebody say amen. And so, we are to build a church of unity, one heart and mind. A church, number two, a church of selfless people. Number three, a church without any needy persons. And we have the infrastructure laid already, which will be mirrored in every nation that we have branches. We really have started the program in London as far back as about 15 years ago. And we have been able, we have achieved 15 years, about 30 years ago, really. We started that. We raised so many people who came to this church, who when we interviewed them, "What do you do?" They said nothing. And we tell, "Okay, you go and do this course." "Oh, I can't read." "Okay, just do it." And we put our heads together, help them to read. And some of them are matrons of hospitals in this country there. Some of them are, you know, chartered accountants, doctors and lawyers and all stuff. And their breed from 30 years ago, those who came in after follow suit. I was one of the daughters came to me last Sunday and said that today is my birthday. I said, okay, so how old are you then? She said, I'm 31. I said, what? 31? So it's 31 years ago I came to name you in your father's house. Yeah? And it dawned on me that, boy, something has happened to you too. I think 31 years ago, I didn't have any flake of snow on my head. You know? And you know, mommy has been battling with me. She barbs my hair. She doesn't let any barber touch my head. Praise be to God for my barber wife. So, and so she will always pick every gray hair she sees. And then 2 days ago, she said, your head is too bushy. Okay, now clear it. As she was barbing my head, she said, no, I have to remove all this white hair in your eyebrow because you look like, the man they use in advertising whiskey. Hallelujah. So she was picking the air. So she now got to the place, she discovered that they have invaded almost the whole of my eyes. So if you have to pick every one of them, I will come out like a bird. No eyebrow. He said, look here, I have to leave this thing now. I can't clear everything because it means that the whole of this thing will become, you know. But I'm saying this to say to you that in this house, we follow the vision. We want to build a church without a needy person. And so we have done that to the age of children of 3-5. The program of this church, we build them up to become great men and women in society with high intelligence and high moral standards.